Our scripture reading for today comes from Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 to 10 and 15 through 17. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us." The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill them. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live.
Let us pray. Ever-living God, may the words of our mouths, meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, Allie, you know those buttons that you have in your backpack that have words and phrases on them? I heard a true story recently that I thought you would like. Okay. There was a young boy, he was in junior high school. He went to school with all these buttons on his shirt. He got to school and his teacher was rather dismayed, so she called up his mom and said to her, "You know, he can't wear that button."
"Why? What did the button say?"
"Well, the button said, 'Question authority.'" You know what the mom said to the teacher?
"What?"
"I gave him that button." That was the end of the conversation. It was.
Sounds like a good mom to me. I can see why you would say I'd like that story. I'm one who always is interested in questioning authority, and I always have. Do you remember that story I told you about in sixth grade with my English class?
I do. Yes, it's funny. Yeah.
Our teacher was the hardest teacher in the school, and we were upset because we felt she was giving us too much homework. And so Tommy from my class convinced us all to have a sit-in in the hallway to protest all the homework we were getting.
And what happened with that?
She heard about it beforehand, and she was mad when she got to the room, and we saw the look on her face, and she just said, "Get in," and we all jumped up and scrambled in the classroom and left Tommy sitting by himself in the hallway.
I wonder if he's still sitting there. Who knows, right? Well, there certainly have been other times when kids in school have actually stood up for causes and important principles that they believed in that are, you know, much bigger than what you've talked about, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really impressed with how the kids in Parkland, Florida have been standing up for a cause they believe in after that horrific shooting at their school.
You and I know that there is something about embracing the power that you do have to stand up when it's important, especially when you are uniquely qualified to do that. I mean, kids can do it from their vantage point. Adults can do it because of circumstances in their lives that have caused them to see things a certain way, and they just have a certain type of clarity about what isn't right. As you were talking about that, I was thinking of another example, and it has to do with one that you told me about, and it has to do with Claudette Colvin, who was only 15 years old. Now, everyone has heard of Rosa Parks, right? Well, Claudette, actually, in the spring of 1955, even before Rosa Parks, she got on the bus. She was African American. She sat in the middle of the bus with several of her friends. And when her friends gave up their seats for the white passengers and they moved to the back, Claudette stayed right where she was. That was very brave, I think, of her, especially at 15. Looking back on this experience, she has said this, which I think is just a marvelous quote. "History had me glued to the seat. Harriet Tubman's hands were pushing down on one shoulder, and Sojourner Truth's hands were pushing down on the other shoulder. I was paralyzed between these two women. I couldn't move." Claudette was only 15 years old, and she ended up being arrested.
Yeah, you know, Mom, our scripture reading from Exodus today is a lesson on the huge impact that folks can have when they recognize that they are uniquely qualified to hold out for a principle of good that's far greater than any of us put together. And I think it's an invitation for all of us, no matter the age we are, kids, youth, adults, even whatever our gender. It's an invitation to realize that if we don't do what we can to stand up for that truth, that principle of good, that holy and sacred value that we are uniquely qualified to stand up for, then who will? It's risky, though. I mean, Claudette was arrested, and if you just think about Shifra and Pua, the midwives, right before the time of Moses, standing up to the Pharaoh, they must have been terrified.
But what a great example. The Pharaoh of Egypt was threatened by the strength of the Israelites. He turned to the midwives, Shifra and Pua, and he told them that they were to do away with all the male Hebrew babies that were born. And they were to let the girls live. Why? Because the girls didn't pose any kind of threat. The girls weren't there to, he thought, to counteract what he wanted to do. But what is so ironic is Shifra and Pua, they ended up being the Pharaoh's undoing. Shifra and Pua, they were creative, they were astute, they knew how to play a different game. They made sure that the Hebrew babies lived, the male babies. No one else had that in their control, but they did. They were midwives, after all. And talk about questioning authority. Thank goodness they did. Their decision to turn their backs on Pharaoh and use the power that they had from their particular vantage point because they were uniquely qualified to do so, that, in a sense, led to Moses. And Moses surviving, and the rest is history. Shifra and Pua, they stood on the side of life. They stood on the side of freedom from oppression. And at the end of the day, they stood on the side of all the things that God wants for humanity and all the things that Jesus taught that God wants for humanity.
Yeah, it sort of makes you wonder, doesn't it? I know I, for one, am inspired by a whole host of folks. Young people, adults, my mother. Especially those people who've taken up that invitation from Shifra and Pua. And I'd like to think all of us can be wonderful midwives for God's beloved community here on earth. We can take a hard look at our own lives and the special gifts we have to offer to make the world a better place by standing for the good God wants for humanity. And we can't say we don't know what that good is, can we?
You know, it would be so much easier if we could say that we didn't even know what that good is. But the fact of the matter is, we do. And we're called to be proactive in doing our jobs and doing the jobs that we are uniquely qualified for, doing the jobs that can help life reign, love reign, compassion reign, especially over death and destruction. You know, I think about the term that midwives use when a baby isn't strong, doesn't seem healthy. There is this term about that called failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. And I think about that a lot because for me, everyone has a job to do from their own place and position in life to help successful thriving. Because that is what God wants. God doesn't want failure to thrive. Successful thriving is what we need to be all about.
That's actually how the idea of Mother's Day began, you know?
I do know.
It all started in the 1850s when the organizer, Ann Reeves Jarvis, held Mother's Day work clubs to improve sanitary conditions and try to lower infant mortality rates for working low-income moms and fighting disease and curbing milk contamination. Groups also tended to wounded soldiers from both sides of the Civil War, and eventually they worked for peace. Later, her daughter, Anna Jarvis, reinstated Mother's Day to honor her mother and to honor other mothers, but she got discouraged by all the commercialism that was out there. But you did like the card I gave you today, right?
Don't stop giving me Mother's Day cards. I always love what both my kids do for me on Mother's Day, and I'm sorry, you'll always be my kid, no matter what.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. As long as I know I'm your favorite.
All right. I think we need to bring this to a close right now. Let's think about a final thought that we need to leave with everyone today. How about this? Each of us is uniquely qualified for some form of service.
Yeah, sometimes this could mean questioning authority when the truth demands it.
Sometimes this could mean using our particular vantage point as a gift so that we can help ourselves and others stand on God's side.
And all the time, it means allowing God's dream for humanity and the world to be born.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.